Well, welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is April 23rd, 2024. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening over Rumble or YouTube or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find the banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right-hand side of the website. Okay, I want to pick up with our scripture reading. We read John, Gospel of John, chapter 12. Tonight we're going to be reading John chapter 13, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified, and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. But after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out. and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, Whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice.
Okay, tonight we're not going to have much of a subject matter. I think I just want to go through a little bit on the different education courses that we have set up here on National Liberty Alliance. And we're going to move into an open forum quickly, so anybody wants to get into the queue, if you're on a phone, a star 6 and a 1. And if you have an app, there should be a button there to get you into the queue. Anyway, the key thing what National Liberty Alliance is doing ultimately is really educating people. An educated people is what is necessary to save this nation. We are at a point in time that the people cannot take their nation back themselves. I mean, it's that bad. The military has to move in. And the military has to clean house. We do know that devolution is in play, and that's going to be taken care of. Meanwhile, we the people should be educating ourselves. Because once we clean house, it'll only be a matter of time if people don't exercise their unalienable right of government by consent, which the only way you could do that is through committees of safety. You know, I'm sure there are other things you could do, but you know, whatever you do, you also have to have other people in other counties doing the same thing. And so we're structuring the committees of safety exactly the way our founding fathers structured them, from the standpoint of taking back control of our government. And that can only happen on the grassroots level. And I've mentioned this many, many times. National Liberty Alliance has no desire to give any marching orders to anybody at any level. We're here to offer an education, communications between the different committees of safety through committees of correspondence, and communicating. So communicating, educating, and working together with other committees of safety. But the key thing here is education. We do have a handbook, and I'm not going to get too deep into this. Again, just go through a few things quickly, and then we'll go to an open forum. But if you go to start a committee of safety, I mean, you just click on that button there and just follow the information, just read through, and it'll lead you to different places and on how to create a committee of safety and what's necessary. But at the same time, you should be educating yourself. So you should find some time to organize within your county, and then find some time at the same time to educate yourself. We have numerous courses, as many of you know. We have a foundation study. The foundation study is just a bunch of videos, great videos laid out to give sort of a foundational, a frame of mind, I guess you'd say. So we call it a foundational study. Constitution Course 101, it's an introduction to the Constitution. It's nothing really deep, but it does give you a basic understanding of the Constitution. We have a civics course, and then a government by consent course. We have a militia course, And we have a jury administrator's accredited course. For those who don't know what that is we're building people in every county, administrators to the juries. What administrators do, we're looking for four people for every county plus a paralegal who should also be an administrator also. So they all need to get the basic knowledge, which all these courses will give them. And we're writing a handbook, to help instruct the people that are operating as administrators. And so those five individuals, four plus one paralegal, those five individuals will be responsible within their counties to call forward the grand juries and the trial juries when necessary, and to orientate them, to properly educate them. And then once that's done, of course, then they're ready to exercise their right as one of the people to judge others. And we should not be judged by any one individual. No, it's certainly not any judge or a bar attorney, because judges are bar attorneys, at least on the state and the higher levels, the federal level. Town and village courts, or more often than not, a lot of those people are not necessarily lawyers, but they do go through a training class. I've heard 2 or 3 weeks long, and then they have a prosecutor to work with them that'll tell them all the things that they need to do in order to destroy our rights ultimately, and bringing people under statutory control. Statutes create a prison. It's a statutory prison that they created for us. And we're ruled by that, and it's very difficult to come out from underneath that. But in any event, working up your education to take courses, and then there are higher courses, because we have lots of other things here. So if you go through all these tabs, you'll find even a higher education. But under Starter Committee of Safety, the key thing is to go to handbooks, videos, and tools. And in here, one of the things I'd like to share with everyone tonight, because we just updated this paper, someone was requesting if we had some kind of a flyer to hand out. They have an event going on, and they wanted to hand out flyers. And so we updated the latest flyer we've got. It's a two-sided flyer. Okay, it's pretty good. This will print both sides. Most printers these days do print both sides, but it's two pages. And I'm not going to necessarily go through this, but people should download this, take a look at that. And if you're going to an event or someplace where you can hand out a flyer, or even committees of safety, when you're calling a meeting together and bringing people in and new people are coming in, you hand out these flyers. It'll be very helpful to them. It's also very helpful to get as many people as possible to our Monday night meeting so that they can get educated and filled in on the latest things that we discover or know, or when people ask questions, maybe we can help answer a lot for a lot of people on whatever questions may come up. So anyway, the two-sided flyer is downloadable. Of course, we've got lots of books also, just real quickly, that would be under the Welcome tab, and you come down to Books by John Durash, you can purchase books. But all of the handbooks that we have, okay, are downloadable for free, so you don't have to go out and buy the pocket handbooks unless you want it for convenience sake or whatever. We do have a sheriff's handbook. We have an elected official's handbook. And again, if you're supporting a sheriff or some elected individual running for office, and you might want to share that book with them, again, we have that in PDF. You can download that right here under handbooks, videos, and tools. This is the page here. So those books are good, but it would be nice maybe to get them also the pocket handbooks. I think it would be more impressive because people feel things have much more power and authority if it's in a book form that's actually printed and so on. So. But however you want to do it. Again, money's tight for everyone these days, so downloads are free. We have a grand jury handbook. People should read that. It's extremely important because this will liberate you. This will bring the understanding of the power of we the people. Grand jury handbook, and also the Pettit jury handbook. So we've got both of them, the Pettit jury handbook and the grand jury handbook. But the key one that I want to just talk a little bit about right now before we move into our open forum is our organizing handbook. And again, it's downloadable. It's 66 pages. And it's a step-by-step, blow-by-blow on how to start a committee of safety from beginning all the way to the point where you're really taking control of your local government. And once you've maintained control of your local government, which means your villages, your towns, your counties, and cities, once you take control of that within your county and others are doing the same in their counties, then you can come together and start taking control of the state together collectively. And that's why it's extremely important for us to structure our committees of safety in the same fashion. You know, we've done all the paperwork for you, and of course people will alter it accordingly and do whatever they think they have to do. But we do have all the necessary paperwork in order to create the Committee of Safety. We have the framework for the charter. Every Committee of Safety needs to have a charter, okay? And we've created a five-page charter, which I think everyone would agree with everything that's on here. It's just basic things that we need to collectively work with other counties to be structured in the right way. But your county will have unique situations or a unique problem that you'll be dealing with. Maybe another county won't or whatever. And people will do things a little differently, and that's fine too. But let's structure ourselves so that we are easily able to work county to county and even across the states, because we'll all be structured the same way. But anyway, you read through this, I think you'll see it makes a lot of common sense, and then you'll add to it. You know, your charter may, this is five pages, your charter may be six, seven, eight pages long, I don't know. And even if you just work with this charter right off the bat, and then a couple of months down the line, you know, you can review it and add to it again, and you could do that at any time. You just have to take a vote, hey, want to add something into the charter, you take a vote on that, and then you discuss it and you bring it in, do whatever you got to do. But a charter is extremely important to get that together, because that's the first part of the impressive thing, the impress that you want to put upon the sheriff. You want to organize yourself properly. The charter is going to tell them a lot about who you are, what you're doing, and why you're doing it, because of the way it's structured. There's also with that, there is resolutions, okay? And this is the one that you're probably going to grow a lot. This is nine pages at this point. Again, we suggest that you kind of follow the structure. You make a few changes, I guess that's fine, but again, stay with the structure as much as possible, and then you're going to be adding a lot of things. So when you put your paperwork together, you get your charter, you get your resolutions, you go out and get your seal. We talk about that. We talk about the design of the seal in the handbook, where to get the seal, and all your paperwork should have a seal and signed by the chairman or the co-chairman. And you put this together and you have it bound at Staples or Office Max or wherever you want to go, and get a binder on it. And every time you visit any kind of a group, okay, even in the school boards, you can bring this into the school board and add them, give it to them, let them know you're coming in with power and authority. There's people here. We've organized. Here's our charter. This is what we're doing. You need to be obedient to the people, and this is what we want you to do. Then, of course, we spoke a couple of weeks ago on how to take control of that school board if they disregard what your desire is. And we can remove them within 10 days. They could be removed with a writ quorum wanto, and using that process, there's a couple of different processes you can use. But if you have the sheriff with you, which you should, you do it with writ quorum wanto, and the sheriff can make the serving. That becomes impressive, and that may in itself force these people to just automatically say, okay, what do you want, and hopefully do what's got to be done. But in any event, you definitely want to put this paperwork together to meet with your sheriff. And any town board, city board, village board, school boards, anybody that you're coming in to talk with, to take control over them. Because we have government by consent. People have to realize the power and the authority that people have. We have that power. We have that authority. And once we start exercising it, and you're exercising with numbers, remember what Jefferson said, when the people fear the government, you have tyranny. But when the government fear the people, you have liberty. Okay? And when you come with power and authority and the sheriff right with you to serve papers if necessary, they're going to start thinking about what they're doing. and you're going to start getting control. And you have to get control of your grassroots before you move upline. And again, the court system, National Liberty Alliance is working on that to take back the court system. We're going to file some papers as soon as devolution comes to a certain point. We're not sure exactly where or when that'll be, but we'll know the timing. When these people start to get arrested and removed, that's when we move in to take our federal courts back. And we've already written the papers for that. Maybe that's something we'll go through in the next couple of weeks. We won't be able to go through all of it because it's a long paper, but we can kind of give a synopsis and read some of the things out of that paper to talk a little bit about it and so on and so forth. And then, of course, we're building as I mentioned a short while ago, we're building administrators to take back the courts locally, which is your state court. And of course, political process, how we take control of the political process, take it away from the statutory committeemen. They'll fall away by attrition to begin with. And when they find out, most of the people there find out about the committees of safety, they're going to come on board. And they're going to be very valuable to you because they've been around long enough to really understand the political process and procedures and how to get someone onto the ballot. And that'll be very helpful. And we would like to have, hopefully as time goes on, at least one person that has really gone heavily into studying the law and the courses that we put together. One of the most important courses we put together, you find under Education Starts Here, is Court Access in the Common Law. And you should have at least as time comes on, you will find, someone will find the desire to really, you know, work deeply into this and be able to eventually learn how to write papers and take instructions. If they're learning things, we're an advisor here at National Liberty Alliance. If anybody has any questions or comments, help with some paperwork within the processes that we're working with, you know, we're here to do that. And if we don't have the answer, we'll research it out and we'll get it. But anyway, anybody who's interested in really getting deep into that, Court Access in the Common Law is the most important course. Anybody who wants to be administrator, they have to take for the juries, they have to take all of our courses, okay, including the Court Access in the Common Law course. We don't have a test set up for the Court Access in the Common Law course, and this is probably the course that people should require anyone that is going to come and look for your support as an elected individual. And in order to support them, you're going to want them to know the Constitution and understand the common law and realize the power and the authority of the people. And this course will teach them that. So eventually we'll work on getting a course, a test up for this that'll prove that they took the course. And once they pass that test, then we will give them a certificate, and then you'll know that they did go through it, and they do know the common law, they understand. And the key thing to controlling government is to get rid of the people immediately as soon as they start breaking their oaths. Of course, it should start with a warning, and that could be by the chairman making the call to the individual. And once they understand the power and the authority of the Committee of Safety, as they understand the power and the authority of the statutory committeeman, because trust me, when a county statutory committeeman or a state chairman for the committeeman makes a call to an elected individual and says, "Hey, we don't like what you're doing. Stop it," they're going to listen, and they're not going to buck up against that because they know that their job rests in the hands of those individuals. Those are the individuals who put them on the ballot, and those are the individuals who take them off the ballot through recall. So that power is going to be transferred over to the committees of safety because we're the true committeemen. We're the people, and we'll be under the common law. But in any event, we will put that together at some point, and you'll be able to know that these people do have a reasonably good understanding of common law and the Constitution. Okay, anyway, education is key. Starting a committee of safety is key. Just follow the breadcrumb trails underneath these two tabs. Work them together, organize, and prepare. And let's take the nation back. Again, the power and the authority that's really going to be seen in this is really going to be after the next election, because that's when the people will really be able to move. And we need to prepare now in order to do that, so as much as possible. We do have, last point I'm going to make here, right now what do we have? We have 184 county committees of safety organized. You can see this on the right-hand side of our website, and this gets calculated automatically as someone joins, for instance, right now. We have 11,350 people, members with National Liberty Alliance. So these are all the statistics of the things we're doing. Some of these areas, some of these people aren't as participating as much as they should be. For instance, the grand jury administrators. They must be taking all the courses, and if they don't take the course, or at least be in the process and moving along in the course when the time comes that they can take the positions within their counties, then, whoever gets the courses done first or is really pushing forward, they're the ones that's going to get the positions. But if an individual doesn't pursue and push through these courses, then eventually someone else that is will take their place. So it's extremely important. It's a wrongdoing to put people in a powerful position. This is a powerful position, a very powerful position. And it's a wrongdoing to put people into these powerful positions if they're not properly educated. Okay. Anyway, with that, we're going to go to our Q&A here. If anybody wants to get into the queue again, hit a star 6 and a 1 if you're on a phone, or hit the button if you're on an app, enter the queue. Okay, we'll take our first question, first person. Van, you got the mic. Go right ahead, Van.
Yes, hi, John and team. I'm starting the COS. I got a meeting coming up tomorrow. I have other people from other counties that are going to be in this this committee meeting. They do not have COSs formed at this time. I don't foresee it being an issue or a problem of having them and having them sign up for my committees. I would like to know what your thoughts are on this.
Absolutely. Yeah, whenever I do anything, I go to people outside my county as much as inside my county or the county that I'm focusing in on. We get the surrounding counties that are close by. And by them coming, they're going to learn and see what you're doing, and you're going to be able to assist them in doing the same thing in their county. Meanwhile, they can participate however they want to in your county, and that's fine. You know, many hands make light work, and that's the key. The key thing, though, you know, there's about, matter of fact, let me open this up here. I think I have, it's on this page. Is it here? Let's see. Yeah, I think it is. Okay, we have the Committee of Safety Organizing Structure. And again, you can click on this and open it up and basically go through it. We get into deeper detail into the handbook on this, but this is the breakdown. The key subcommittees that you want, you have the general committee, okay, and the structure, of course, is a chairman, a co-chairman, a secretary, and a treasurer. But under that, there are subcommittees. There's the Committee of Correspondence. Whoever's got their name up on our website here would be the lead of that. Let's take our directory, for instance. We'll go into, it doesn't matter, we'll go into Pennsylvania, okay? And these individuals that signed up here as Committee of Safety leaders, okay, they would actually be the Committee of Correspondence, the one individual. And you want to get at least a couple of people into the Committee of Correspondence, or as many as you feel you want, really. And really, their job is really to work out situations and communicate with other committees of safety. So it's not going to be very much involved in the beginning. But as time goes on, of course, these individuals are the people responsible for and are taking on the task of organizing the Committee of Safety. But definitely, people from other counties, you'd like to invite them anyway. And then you could talk, once you identify those individuals and they've gone through the whole process, your seminar that you put up, you should be putting up a 3 or 4 hour seminar, usually on a Saturday, it's the best time to do it. We have a lot of information, so you can go and look on how to do that right on the page here, which is, again, where all of, let me shut some of this stuff down. Maybe I lost that page. Yeah, I guess I lost that page. Anyway, where the handbooks are, that would be under Starter Committee of Safety. Come down to handbooks, videos, and tools. And then you'll see that in that process, now, let me go back to that. You can actually follow exactly what we've done. Here's your Committee of Safety seminar instructions. There's videos and PowerPoints. You could do this by video, PowerPoint video, or you could do this by PowerPoint and articulate it yourself, or whatever you want to do. But here's the whole structure. You can download all of these things and follow the same process that we set up. You can mix this up a little, but however you want to do it. But you do want to get the basic information to them on what exactly it is that you're doing and the power and the authority of the people through committees of safety. And this is how our founding fathers did it. And our founding fathers created this nation through the committees of safety. Every one of our founding fathers was belonged to the committees of safety within their colony. And they came together to do everything they did to create this nation. First Continental Congress, Committee of Safety called for it, met and dealt with the problem. Second Continental Congress, the Declaration of Independence, the writing of the Constitution, you know, the Federalist Papers, all of these people, all of this was the Committees of Safety that did all this work. And then they used the Committee of Safety, which is the committee man, to control the government. That was eventually phased out by, the minions of the New World Order, that being the bar attorneys. They've totally destroyed the whole process, turned it into a statutory process, took control, placed in party bosses. And the people don't really have any power. They're really not doing anything but just supporting the criminal on the right or the criminal left by walking the papers to get them onto the ballot. Okay, but anyway, going back here to this page here, the Committee of Correspondence, you got the Militia Committee. Everybody is on the Militia Committee, but there are groups of people that work the details out. Education Committee. And whenever they finish their work and they're going to focus in, for instance, the Educational Committee, once they focus in on a target, a particular school district, and they start the process, they create a meeting to bring all of the individuals in a particular school district together at your next at a particular meeting that you have going for the sole purpose to discuss the problems in the schools and to prepare to meet and go to the school board to take control of the school board. And that's where you're going to build a lot of membership up with these education committees. And that's the first committee that should be the most active in the beginning. And by working that out also, you're also building the knowledge and the understanding of how to take any board back or really any group, legislators or whatever. Because you're only going to repeat the same thing, but you're going to repeat it focusing in on maybe legislators in the county or dealing with a town board or a village board or a city or whatever the case may be. Then, of course, there's the political committee. And the political committee, of course, that deals with walking the papers and discovering who you want to support to bring into office or who you want to recall and take out of office. The judicial committee, they'll be working to some degree with the administrators of the county for the juries. So this is the basic structure. And then there are other committees as necessary. Sometimes you'll create a committee to deal with a problem, and the problem's solved, and the committee doesn't need be needed no more. Maybe another committee will pop up here or there. But the point is this, though. Once you start moving forward, especially pursuing the education committee, you're going to build membership. And before you know it, you're going to have 100 people. And before you know it, it's going to be 500 people, 1,000 people, and hopefully even a lot more than that, okay? And because once people realize the power and the authority and the ability to take their government back, because people are sick and tired at this point, they realize there's a problem. And we have to educate our children the same way, to teach them that they need to give back. You know, they're born in a nation free, and they've been given liberty, and they're given a lot. Well, you've been given a lot. Now you've got to give back a lot. So we need to teach our children how to take care of their business in the court, how the political process works, how due process, the judicial process works, how the Committee of Safety works, the Committee of Safety in their county. They should join in and come to the meetings too, even as children. You know, bring your children to the Committees of Safety and let them learn early on. But anyway, this is the structure that you want to build. Many hands make light work. So the more people that join the committees of safety, the less time we have to put into it throughout the month. Because you figure, well, you got to spend some time every week getting educated. You have to spend some time hopefully coming to our Monday night meetings, or at least downloading our meetings and listening to them throughout the week. You got a whole week to listen to this 120-minute or maybe even a 3 hour sometimes meeting, and get involved. So people should be doing that, and our children should be taught the same way to do that. But you're going to put time into education. You've got to figure out how much time you have and how important it is. I don't know that there's much more important other than God and family than the Committee of Safety. Okay, so education, and then given 2 hours a month, come to a meeting once a month, 2 hours, okay? And then whatever work that your committee is involved in, you meet out, maybe an hour or two's worth, throughout the month you have to do something, make some contacts, get some information, do some research, whatever it's recalled upon you, and whatever committee you're working in. So liberty is not free. We have government by consent, and if people aren't interested in stepping up to take control of their government and making them consent to you, then we don't deserve liberty. Well, we're not going to have it. So only the people can save, the nation, save America, save the Constitution. Only the people can enforce the Constitution or enforce the Bill of Rights. And there's one other thing, I wanted to just share here and then go back to you, Ben, in a second. This page here is under our Monday night open forums. It's under today's issues. And you see here NLA's Monday open forum videos. Now, we don't put every Monday night up here, but only when we really are focused in on teaching something particularly, we post them up here. But we did one back in November of last year. Well, actually, no, 2 years ago, 22, 23, 24. Yeah, November of 22. We did a case for the Bible back in school. People should really listen to this and understand who we are as a people. We are a Christian nation. Our law is the Bible. The Bible is the common law. That's where the common law comes from. It's written in the hearts of men, the Bible tells us. So everybody knows when a wrongdoing is done to begin with. But common law in itself is really pretty much common sense and things that are just. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. So it's not statutes or anything like that. But anyway, we make a case here for the Bible in school. Hopefully everybody looks at this one if you didn't come to this particular Monday night. But we are going to try to post as much as we can up here. We put them out on Rumble. We put them out on YouTube. We've been getting pretty good hits on Rumble. Not so much on YouTube, but Rumble's been getting pretty good as time goes on. And we'll continue posting what we think are the important Monday night programs. So, anyway, back to you, Ben. I know I maybe went a little off base of what you were asking.
Yeah, that's all I have to ask right now. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. And again, we don't have many people in the queue. It's star 601 if you're on a phone, and hit the button if you want to come in off an app into the queue. Okay, Ross, you got the mic. Go right ahead, Ross.
Hello. I'm wondering for the community safety stuff. I know you told me before you'd be patient starting it. Is that my phone has been silent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a little tough sometimes to get the thing started. You have to find at least one partner. It takes a little time to find one person. And the next thing you know, you find another. You got three people, four people, five people. You know, when you get five, six, seven people, that's when you want to start planning to have a seminar. On a Saturday is the best time to do it. Most people are off on a Saturday. Lord's Day is not a good day to do it. So Saturday seems to be the best prime. I would do it sometimes maybe from noon to 3 or 4. I'd settle up from noon to 4. It might only be 3 hours long, but if you go longer, you got that extra hour. The other thing is your committees of safety at some point in time should be done you can use a town hall, you can use a city hall, you can use village hall, you can go in there and just let them know you want to use the room. on a Saturday from a certain time to a certain time. They'll unlock the doors, set up all the equipment for you, and they'll come back later to close up when you're done. You can use libraries. There's lots of other things. There's different venues you can use, and we put that up there. But yeah, it is hard to get it started in the beginning. Some people are more articulate than others, and they have a less of a hard time trying to get things going than others. But did you get a list of people within your county from Jan, Ross?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did get two people. It's just one of them is always busy because he's running his own business, and the other guy said he told me he have started to lose his vision.
What state are you in again?
Oregon. The state of Oregon.
Okay. Let me see what's going on in Oregon anyway. Okay. By the way, in order to find your committee of safety that might be ongoing, you want to come to this page, which is the directory page. Just click on directory. You'll see a map here. But as you come down, a lot of these district coordinators aren't necessarily active. We're working on that to try to get more help if anybody wants to be a district coordinator. But we have to work things out with the district coordinators. And the district coordinator's job is really communicating with the committees of safety that is in process and trying to give them as much help as they would want. But you can register or edit your committee of safety by clicking on this tab right here, okay? And basically, well, let me click on it just to show you what it looks like, okay? It gives you instructions on how to go into your account and have your name put up there. And the only thing that'll be put up there is your first name, your county, and your phone number. And then you'll be that contact person for that county, for your committee of safety. So you come down here and you take your state. You said Oregon, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we go to Oregon. Oregon's got 272 members. You got 36 counties. Okay. I know I went to every one of these. And I spent time. Terry, did you go through any of these yet? Because I put, oh, here it is, register. Right off this page, if there's no one in your county, if your county's not up here, and you want to take on the job of trying to get the committee of safety going, and remember, you can pass this on to someone else in your committee of safety at a later time if you don't want to continue being the person that would be the contact. But in any event, if you no county up there, again, all I'll do is click on register to edit on this page, and it'll give you the instructions to go in and click the box to get your name up here and your phone number. So, again, there is no other way to save this nation. Only the people can do it. No one else can do it. But go ahead, Ross.
Yes. Actually, I'm listed as the CS leader right now to start in Clackamas County is the county I live in.
Mm-hmm.
My mom said, you could ask people in the church I go to, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
That's the best place to go. Okay, you know, any kind of a religious organization, and you can get in there and maybe bring a little bit of a presentation to them, or you know. And again, you can bring a recorded presentation. You can just you know, we do have one recording that gives a focus just in on the Committee of Safety and what it's all about. You can find that on our handbooks page. Okay. But again, you know, usually a seminar is 3 hours. But just to find some people, talk with the people in churches. That's a good potential area to go to. But the key thing here, let's see, if any fathers can use, the presentation is 35 minutes long, okay, right here. So you can click on that. It's a PowerPoint video. It's 35 minutes long. Maybe you can show that video in the church. Or wherever you go, and you could talk to people, and other people will join up, will assist and work together with you to make more contacts and get more people involved.
Okay.
Okay.
Like me, my the stake I am in also covers Gresham, some of Gresham too, in Multnomah County.
I don't understand that. It covers what?
My stake, the Mount Hood stake, covers some of Clackamas County and some in Multnomah County, Oregon.
So you're talking about two different counties?
Yes.
Okay, well, you'd only want to do, well, you can work with people in other counties and eventually they'll spread, you know, spur off and get their own counties going. So, I mean, you could work together to some degree. But generally speaking, each committee of safety is in each county.
Yeah, okay.
We wouldn't normally cover two counties. But again, if you have a partner out of another county that you're working with, to communicate with and plan with, and building up membership and eventually do one county for a seminar, or you could do both counties at the same time, and then you could do another time. Again, you could do one in one county, one in the other county, and build up the membership and get people involved, and you got two counties going. We do want to work with counties close by, you know, so once you get your county going, you want to help the counties around you to get going also.
John, yeah. And Ross, I live in Boulder County, Colorado, but the only place that they really started getting things together was in Larimer County, which is north. So I'm the treasurer of the Larimer County Committee of Safety, and so we're still working it. You see,
yeah,
what I'm saying? We can work across those lines, but we just have to be careful and, you know, keep them separate.
Make yes. sense?
Okay.
All right, anything else, Ross? And if anybody else wants to get into the queue, we only got two people in the queue right now other than Ross. So
Ross,
you're on a phone and hit that button if you're on a app. Go ahead, Ross.
I also, I should wait until set the community safety up before I can talk to the sheriff of Clackamas County.
Well, you can go have a little bit of a conversation with your sheriff if you want and tell him what you're doing and that, you know, you're in the beginnings. It's probably going to be a few more months before you get things going, and offer him the book and the papers. By the way, everyone should be involved with the sheriff. Join our campaign for constitutional sheriff. Right under sheriff, click on join our campaign. And basically, it's buy your sheriff the book, Government by Consent, right here. 8.5 by 11, a hardcover book. I don't know, it's close to 2 inches thick, I think. It's pretty thick, 1.5 inches maybe. And it's 550 pages. And we put that price as low as possible. It's only $39.95 for, you know, hardcover book, no less. And it's really durable. But you get your sheriff the book, or you buy the sheriff the book, okay? And then you can click here to buy the book. You can download a letter from Sheriff Darr to the sheriffs. And let me just read this. This is what Sheriff Darr wrote, just only two paragraphs. This is my fourth term as sheriff of Barry County, Michigan. I have said for many years that every passing generation, our Constitution gets more and more diluted. It is now to the point that the current college generation recognizes communism more than our own republic. Even the law enforcement community does not get training on the Constitution. Instead, we push our law enforcement family through an academy based on case law from activist judges. We the people need the tools to restore the Republican government by consent. It is a must-read and study guide to attain that goal. So get your notebooks and your highlighters out and arm yourself with the tools to bring back our common law Constitution. When we do this, the whole world will follow. And Sheriff Darr signed that. This letter should be put inside the book. We also have a letter. I'm not going to read this one. It's a whole page. It's a little longer. But National Liberty Alliance wrote a letter. And these two letters both should be in the book to introduce the sheriff. You can introduce the sheriff, spend a few minutes with him, talk about it, say, hey, we'll get back to you as soon as we get a little more organized. But, Sheriff, get educated. Then you can approach him the way we spoke about in the handbook. Okay, and one of the things we're offering, I put this paragraph in here just recently. The following courses are free to sheriffs and deputies: Constitutional Course 101 Introduction, Civics Course, Militia Course, Government by Consent Course, Court Access and the Common Law, 90-hour video course. Just check the box that you are a sheriff or a deputy when you register, and we will respond within 24 hours with details to sign into our courses. You can download the free Sheriff's Handbook at, and they go to that link and get it. And so you're giving them the book. You're giving them two letters to introduce that introduces the book, and we're giving them more tools, more information. And when a sheriff signs up, Jan, by the way, we should probably make a plan on how we're going to deal with sheriffs and deputies, whether we want to make a phone call to them to confirm who they are, that kind of thing. But we'll talk about that later. But anyway, everybody should join our campaign for constitutional sheriffs, because we need constitutional sheriffs. And a lot of people may think that their sheriff's not on board, you know, or it's just lost case. And maybe they are bad. Maybe they're crooked. Maybe they're evil. Who knows? But a lot of them just don't know the law. They don't understand. So they may appear to be someone that's not really out there to protect the people because they really don't know how to. After all, if they don't know the common law, they don't know how to. They don't know how to protect the people. They don't know how to really do their job. And no one is teaching them that. There is no course for the sheriffs other than trying to push them into code enforcement officers, just like the police force. But they're not code enforcement officers. They're law enforcement officers, protectors of the Constitution, protective of the people. That's what they're there for, not to protect the government, to protect the people. So anyway, we got to get our sheriffs on board. You send a book to them, give them the letters. And a couple of months later, when you really have a good conversation, he should be reasonably educated. You've got to get a copy of your, you know, the paperwork from your committee of safety. You want your resolutions. You want your charter. You want your seal. So at some point, that's got to happen. And then you have your big meeting with the sheriffs. At that point, he knows you mean business. And he understands what you're doing, because between all that paperwork and the book, he's going to understand exactly what it is, and he's going to understand his job for many of them for the first time in their lives. So, but it's up to the people to do this. This is how we bring them into the fold, and this is how we work. And we use the sheriff for everything. Anytime you meet with any board or go or any government, okay, whether it's city, town, village, or county, it doesn't matter. Whenever you're going to meet with them to discuss the problems, you want to have a meeting about it, you want to have a speaker, you want to well plan it, you want to get as many people to come as possible, and you want your sheriff or his deputy with you. And you want a quo warranto in your back pocket. For those who don't want to know what a quo warranto is, I think we did a thing on a quo warranto on one of our Monday nights. If you go to our today's issues and go to the Monday night open forums, I think you may find one. I'll take a look. If we haven't got one in there, then we'll do one of these weeks. We'll work on a corporate meeting, but I'm pretty sure we've done that already. So anyway, these are the things we must do in order to bring our government under control. And it starts by, on the grassroots level, local government first, working to your state and to the federal. That becomes collective, working with other county committees of safety in the state and other county committees of safety throughout the whole nation when we're dealing with the federal level. And we'll work to help and assist people in how we can do that. Anything else, Ross? Because we've got three other people. We're going to move to the next.
Okay. You can move on.
Okay. Thank you. Gerard, you want to take the mic for a while? You here? Okay, while I'm waiting, we'll take on R.O.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, you got it then. I won't click the button. You click it.
This looks like Anthony from West Virginia.
No, you got ROG there.
Oh, ROG, okay. Yep.
Is that me, Roger?
ROG, Rog.
Roger Dodger. Yeah, just to follow up on our earlier phone call. So, as Michael Butt said, we have an illegal woke sheriff in Macomb County, Michigan, very corrupt. So we recall him.
Hey, hold on a second. Gerard, I'll take this call because you wasn't at the meeting, were you?
The earlier one?
Yeah, Gerard, you wouldn't let the meeting. So let me take this question. Go ahead, Roger.
Okay, if you said go ahead, Roger, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Roger. Roger, Roger.
All righty. Can we impanel a citizen's grand jury outside of the corporate court structure?
You could, but very dangerous. You know, if you have a situation, once you have your sheriff on board, okay, and then once your sheriff is educated and understands what you're really talking about and how, you know, and what he really needs to do, because he should understand what he needs to do once he gets educated. And so if you have a situation that you want to take to a grand jury, you take it to the sheriff. And you talk to the sheriff about it, you give him all your evidence, you give him the information, and then he'll decide on whether he'll take it or not, and maybe he'll further investigate the situation, and then decide. You know, right now we have Sheriff Darr is pursuing that kind of a process.
Right, well, the Sheriff Darr is evidently operating as a constitutional sheriff.
Yes.
Wickersham in Macomb County, I believe, is too corrupt, so our only solution is a recall. Oh. Which is going to take some time. We also have an election 6 months from now. We're hoping to replace him.
Well, let me ask you a question. Well, a couple of questions. Let me ask you this first question, though. What makes you think he's corrupt? What is he doing that makes him corrupt?
Well, he's been institutionalized for many years in, you know, the whole...
Like most sheriffs. Go ahead.
You know, and like Michael Butts pointed out, he's got lots of hidden mortgages on his properties. It just... I don't have any black and white evidence I can give you,
mm-hmm.
other than it's just I know in my heart. You know.
Well, you know, if you do, even if he's got a few things he's doing wrong because he's playing the game that all the other, you know, prostitutes do, the people we put in office, you know, he might wake up once you try to communicate. I would still try to communicate with the guy. I'd still try to get him a book. I'd still try to see if you can't turn him. You know, people repent all the time, especially sure. when they realize what they're doing is wrong and say, oh, man, I got to do something here. So who knows? He could be a sensitive individual. So I would try. But if you're going to, if he's coming up for an election, you got to get someone to run against him.
Oh, okay? We do.
So you want to approach that person to get educated.
Yes. Yeah, Michael Butts has met with him a lot, and he's pledged to... be a constitutional sheriff, and I like the guy. He's got a lot of law enforcement experience.
Get him the book. Did you get him the book? Did you get the two letters and get it to him?
I do believe Michael Butts has done that. I don't know for sure. Michael, are you on? Can you comment on that?
He needs to pop into the queue, and we'll unmute him.
Have you asked him for his oath and bonds yet? Sheriff?
I would have to defer to Michael on that. So,
I wouldn't pursue that too early on, though. I'd do it friendly first. You know, you could pursue oaths and bonds later on if it's necessary for some reason, but I'd do a recall, or if election's coming up, support another person. Just get them elected. And the best way to do that is, you know, again, you're building committee of safety. You've got a lot of people going to support them. Get the word out. Go talk to other people. Talk to people in different institutions you belong to, people at work. Hand out our flyers and hand out the information on sheriffs. And get people to vote for this guy, but you want to educate him well. And the book will do. Government by Consent book will educate him well.
Okay, before I jumped on board with the NLA and the Committee of Safety, I'm very, very new to politics. I'm 65 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to run for district delegate in the Republican Party. Do you think district delegates are good potential matches to get onto the Committee of Safety?
No, I don't see any benefit from that. Look, at the most powerful people in this nation are the people themselves. Okay,
yes.
The people acting and executing their unalienable right for government by consent, demanding them their obedience. And people who understand how to do that, understand their power and authority, and the procedures and process to enforce that, that's the power in this nation. The problem is it's not being used. That's why National Liberty Alliance is here trying to encourage the usage of that. And So no, look at why you don't want to get involved with the politics. You know, we Democrats and Republicans parties are no good. George Washington probably spoke 2/3 of his farewell address concerning the problems with the parties. And so parties got to go. We get rid of parties just by operating with committees of safety. Parties will fall away. At some point in time, we're going to do something legally to deal with the bar attorneys, to get rid of them, and believe it or not, to get rid of parties. There is a way to get rid of parties also. But the best way to destroy parties is through the attrition. They're always through a process of attrition. In other words, they're always losing members. They're always looking for members. Because once people realize that they're being used and abused and nothing's changing, nothing's going on, they leave. Except for those who really understand.
That's why I'm hiring the precinct delegates. Because in theory, they're patriots and they want to make things better.
They'll come over to the Committee of Safety and they will be very helpful with their knowledge that they will bring.
Initial pool, basically, and starting to get them educated.
Well, absolutely. You know, I would be as bold as getting a hold of the county committee and say, hey, I'd like to address the committeemen on the common law and try to see if you can't go and address them for 15 or 20 minutes and then drop the real bomb on them. I mean, I would do that. Matter of fact, I might try to do that at some point in time. But nevertheless, yes, when they realize real power and authority, no party bosses, no limitations to what they can do, they're going to jump ship and come over.
Okay.
And they'll fall apart through attrition, okay? The bar is a whole different story. We execute the law, and the law is the 13th Amendment, the one that they've removed. It needs to be replaced and come back in. The 14th Amendment should combine the 13th Amendment as we understand it and the 14th Amendment collectively together. And the real 13th Amendment should be resurrected and put back in its place. And then we use that to go into the courts to remove all bar attorneys from our courts of justice.
Okay, considering the fact that I'm very much on board with forming the Committee of Safety, and I'm on the board, I'm about halfway through the Governed by Consent course, what would be the next course you would suggest?
Well, the most powerful course, in my opinion, is, it's Court Access in the Common Law. That's a course that's paid for. It's a real education. It'll teach you due process, all the paperwork, all the forms, how to file papers in the court, how to respond, and all the necessary things to go through a court case. It lays out how the court works, okay? And it brings in the common law and how you can use statutes and regulations to control the bureaucrats, okay? So that's found under Education Starts Here, Court Access in the Common Law. Now, you know, if you click on that button, you'll read the information. We give you the first session of the course for free right here. I think this is 3 hours long. So this is the introduction coming in. It starts with the author of law. So you can listen to that because you'll get a good gist on how this course is going and how it's coming through. But the thing is once you join up and sign in for that, it is a course that we charge $125 for. It's the only course we charge that kind of money for. But half of our courses are free. The other half of our courses, well, actually, I think only two or three courses require you to be a premier member to get into it. And to be a premier member is someone that's giving us $5 a month or more. But for somebody that's on real limited income, Social Security, and things are really tight and they can't even afford that $5 a month, you let Jan know and we'll let you in for free. We don't care.
I'm paying the $5 a month, I'm feeling guilty that I'm not giving you enough.
Well, that's a good
moment.
Well, anyway, you know, that then you got access to all the courses but this one. This is $125, but I will tell you that this course will teach you more than you would learn in a law course in college. And it'll be real because we're talking about the law and applying the statutes and the regulations and future things appropriately, which is applying it to the bureaucrat.
Okay, my final question is for Terry. I emailed you earlier, Terry, about last night's phone call. Or whatever it was, I missed it. I didn't see it in my Telegram app. Is that going to be anywhere on the site that we can go back and review it? Because I wasn't on the live version.
Terry, you're muted if you're talking.
I think he went for a sandwich. Okay, I'll continue dealing with that with Terry with the email.
Right. Okay, appreciate that.
Yeah, I appreciate you.
Okay, back to you, Gerard. It's like Mary, whatever state they're from.
Mary. Looks like Chapman. Go ahead, Mary.
Yeah, what state are you from, Mary?
Mary from Missouri, sir.
Missouri. Okay, what's up?
Well, I was on hold last week, and you guys ended off, but I had a question now. Listening to you guys talk, I have about 50. Anyway, my question was, you had mentioned something about different groups of people that are leading people down the wrong road. I belong to an assembly, and our goal is to build our grand juries. I believe that makes sense to me, but my question is, how does this differ, Committee of Safety? Because when I contacted the Sheriff's Department a couple of years ago, I was interested in becoming a precinct committeeman.
Yeah.
They have taken that out, and they've replaced it with a different group. And at this point, I don't remember what the name of that group is. And they also said that we don't have one acting sheriff. They've broken down our sheriff's department into three jurisdictions. So, at that point, who do you go to? Who do you begin with? There should be somebody overseeing it. Hopefully, it's not the county executor.
Well, first of all, is your sheriff elected? But is he elected through a election process, or is he appointed?
I can't remember at this point.
I don't know how you look at that. You know, you're gonna break the sheriff down. I mean, they can't all be sheriffs. You can have another sheriff.
Department down into three different jurisdictions. One overlooking the courts. One, you know.
Mary, what state did you say you were in?
Pardon me?
What state did you say you were in?
I'm in Missouri.
Missouri. Okay. I'm not too sure. Missouri. I'm pretty sure Missouri has all elected sheriffs. If they break them, I don't know what they're doing with that. That's got to be stopped, and it can be stopped once you get power through the committees of safety. You'll be able to fix that. But back to you.
To you.
Yeah. Go ahead.
These different groups of people that were taking people down the wrong roads, and I'm very aware of a lot of those groups. I know that Carl Miller is a lot of your history, of your learning and your education. And I believe that he was on the right track. But it seems like there are many groups out there that are teaching very similar things, but are making a fortune out of it and taking the people nowhere.
Well,
the assembly district, the assembly thing, I think he's involved with Gerard. Talking about the assembly.
A general assembly, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the trouble is a lot of those assemblies, they'll go to a grand jury and they'll put a grand jury in and they'll leave it in. That's a wrongdoing. You can't have a sitting grand jury forever. So they're supposed to go on a per case basis. Like at National Liberty Alliance, what we're trying to build is a team of people that put the juries together and advise the juries, administrate the juries. But never would we have a jury sitting in place for months and years. That's a wrongdoing.
Well, I guess that the goal would be to get enough people that you have grand juries across the state. It wouldn't just be one. And a county would get a petite jury from a petit jury, from what I understand. And then
there's no such thing as a petit jury is a trial jury. There's no such thing as a petit jury for a grand jury. There is a minimum requirement in order for the grand jury to proceed with business. I think it's 13. You have to have at least 13 members of the grand jury present. But, you know, I don't know that you'd want to call that a petit jury, though. But, no, there's no such thing as a petit grand jury. That doesn't exist.
Okay, gotcha. Well, then my question, my next question would be, as far as grand juries go, each county could have their own grand jury. And if you get enough people to join, then you're not dealing with one. It's a matter of the number system like they do now. I mean, that's how I would imagine it.
Well, that's the reason why we're building administrators in all 3,133 counties. And there's five administrators. Four of them are regular administrators. One is a paralegal. Paralegal will be really valuable because they understand due process and how to write papers. So they can write the necessary indictment. And writing an indictment is very simple anyway, and we're going to teach our administrators. But you do have to have someone who understands the law to some degree, even from the equity side as well as the law side, and that's why they all have to take the courses, even the individual who has the knowledge of the law, okay, they also have to take the same courses. But, you see,
you're developing administrators.
The purpose of the administrators is to take away the power from the government. The government has taken control of calling the grand jury. They stack. They take control of the petit juries. They stack the petit juries. They set the stage in order to get their indictment, in order to get also their judgment to be found guilty and whatever it is. Okay, we need to take it away from them. That in history, the government never was to control the jury. So the people have to control. That's why we're building administrators. We'll take the funding from the courts that's being given to them, and we'll use it for the people, for those five individuals to support them, pay their paychecks, you know, to live a life and so on. And they will then orientate the juries. They'll free them and give them the powers and the authorities. And there'll also be watchdogs within the system to see if anybody violates the juries. So that's what we're doing, okay? So those five individuals for every county are people themselves. They're not politically connected. They owe nothing to nobody. They're educated to come to an understanding how things work, and then they call the jury. So in every county, we're doing this, and they need to operate within the court in the county, the state court within the county.
So would these administrators be considered jury foremen?
No, they would call people to come in as grand jurors, and once the people come in to respond as grand jurors, they would orientate them. You get one day to train them, okay? We've written handbooks for that purpose. We have written handbooks to educate the grand jurists, and we give them, and also the trial jury, the petit juries. They get a copy of that handbook, and they're able to, that's what you review. You go through the handbook, you free them, you empower them through these handbooks. If you read our handbooks on this, you'll see the empowerment that these people are going to be giving. Okay,
because right now the judge and the prosecutors oversee the grand juries, and they're controlling the whole outcome.
Absolutely. We have to take it away from the government and give it back to the people the way it is in history. People have always controlled that. And the only ones that can approach a grand jury is the sheriff or the coroner. Sometimes the people can under certain situations, but generally speaking, the people need to take anything that might be a crime, they need to take it to the sheriff. And the sheriff will then finish the investigation and bring it to the jury if he feels he can get enough evidence to get his indictment. So that's how that would work. But to build a grand jury in every county...
Would the grand jury then have its own investigators? Who would do the investigations?
The administrators would be the investigative body for the grand jury in a sense, okay? We would try to get the people, like if the foreman came up with something and said, hey, we'd like to get into the office over here, whatever government office they want, the situation they want to look into, well, we would try to see if they want to do that instead of us, you know, instead of the administrator. But we would make the phone call and clear the way. The administrators would make the phone call to that government agency, clear the way, let it know the grand jury is coming in. They're going to want to investigate books, computers, and talk to people. Whatever has to be done, assist them and give them all and everything they ask for. If they don't, then we go after them. Go ahead, Ron.
Have you ever read U.S. versus Williams, where Scalia, in his dicta, lays out what the job of the grand jury is? See, so if you read that and you take that, and he says, listen, they can investigate. They don't even have to tell you why or who they're investigating. It's done in secret. I mean, that you kind of got to go by that, you know. I mean, they're not operating under that right now. As a matter of fact, the judges and the prosecutors are committing treason with the instructions that they're giving the juries, and the grand juries. They're telling them, you'll rule on the law as I give it to you. That's not true, because it's up to the jury whether they think it's a good law or whether it's being misapplied. See, they don't want that. They don't want the juries ruling on the law, because they got a lot of bad laws that they're pushing through, making money on. You know what I mean? So. But, you know, if you run it like that, you weed out a lot of stuff in the beginning. And as far as your sheriff's department goes, look at the sheriff has under his jurisdiction, he ministers to the court. He serves papers from the court. And they protect the judges, blah, blah, blah. That's just one department. And, I mean, if they're saying they're breaking up and this guy runs that and this guy runs this, I mean, the sheriff can appoint a guy to be ahead of the deputies that are assigned to the court, but ultimately the buck stops with the sheriff. Mm-hmm. You know, he should not let that be. Those people in those positions, and I don't know, you said there was a third position that they did something else. I don't know. You know, you can pay the sheriff to serve papers, too. That's another function, another service that they do. You know, but ultimately, the elected official is the county sheriff. So anything that's going on there, he should have control over that.
Correct. Okay.
Hey, John, could you, you've got your screen up. Could you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org? I want to show Mary something.
Oh, you know, I'm calling from my phone. I was driving while I was on hold, and I'm not at my computer.
Okay, well, then
let me write that down.
It's all right, and other people can see this. And I'll explain it as we go. ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. Just click on that, John, and then you come to the right here. See where it says home on the right?
Yep.
The ninth tab down, it's podcast archives. Come down to that and click on it. Now scroll down a little bit till you get to 2023 archives. See, it's right there. 2023 show archives. Click on that. Now scroll down a good bit to the first month of the year, which is January of 23. And you'll see January 31st. He actually has it mislabeled. It says January 30th, January 31st, and then January 1st. Nope, you got to come down much more. You're at the end of the year. You got to come down another 11 months.
Yeah, you're in December.
You keep coming down. There you go. Go back through the summer. You got it. Keep coming.
Here's
keep coming. A little bit more. There you go. Right there. Nope, come back. Go back up just a little bit. Okay. Nope, go back up the other way.
What date are you looking for?
January 31st.
January 31st?
Yep.
Right here. All
right, and go down a little bit more, just a few more. See where it's... Okay, one more even. Give me to February 1st. Actually, go back.
I'm trying to get back to where I was. I lost it. Okay, got to go back. Well, let me see if I can open up the last page I opened. History.
There you go. 2023 MP3. Yeah, that's it. I just scrolled down real quick. This is going to be real good for those who want to know about assemblies. Podcast archives, 2023. Yeah, scroll all the way down. It's January 31st, and then GR has it mislabeled as January 1st. It should say February 1st, and then it says, I think, February 2nd. Those three, okay? Yeah, January 31st, January 1st, and February 2nd. He's talking to a guy named Bill of the National Assembly Movement. These three podcasts. Now, GR is very entertaining. There you go. There you go, right there. That's it. GR is really good. If you listen to these three podcasts, and I do them at 1.25 speed, if you listen to these three podcasts, he'll answer with fantastic constitutional acuity why there is no need for a national assembly or local assemblies, and he'll tell you exactly why and why it's actually usurpation of our government. So just check those out. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. These are fantastic podcasts. They're about 50 minutes long. And like I said, I do it at 1.25. But everyone should hear these. He answers all the questions, again, with great constitutional acuity. And this will answer those questions for you. And I appreciate it, John. Thanks for doing that. I yield.
Thank you. Is that returning to the Republic under that? Under that?
Reclaiming the Republic.org.
Okay, reclaiming. Thank you.
And then you're going to be looking for podcast archives on the right-hand side. It's the ninth tab down, first month and second month of 2023, Bill of the National Assembly Movement. Your questions will be answered quite well. I yield.
Would do you happen to know the man's last name by any chance?
No, but he'll say it. I don't remember it. I've heard these podcasts. I don't remember it, but he'll say it quickly once they start, and he'll even have his website that you can go to if you want to find out. It'll all be in those podcasts.
I wonder if it was AmericanCivicsEducation.org.
I don't remember.
Hmm. Okay, we also have information on him on or his site or on our website here. Underneath the Starter Committee of Safety, we put him in here.
Okay.
He's got a program going. Let's see if I can find this. I'm on the page right now. Where was this? Republic Review, okay? So that's what he's pushing forward is a Republic Review, which is he's pushing a review of all of our federal laws to be reconsidered, to get rid, not to create any new law or put anything in, no constitutional convention or anything like that, only for them to go in and get rid of all legislation that is unlawful because it's already null and void. So we don't need to have a constitutional convention in order to clean up legislation. But anyway, there's some videos here that he supplied for us to put in here to give him some information. And there's his links right here, reclaimingtherepublic.org. It's found under today under Starter Committee of Safety, and you come down to Republic Review. Because we'd like everyone that's working, building their committees of safety, also to support the work of the Republic Review. And then we have We the People. We have Robert Schultz with We the People. He's got an event coming up next week on the 2nd in Poughkeepsie, New York. We just sent this out to all of our New York people and anybody interested in going. He's going to be giving a presentation in a church in Poughkeepsie, New York. And he's got a kind of a different program, but we support his work.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
You know, a lot of places put in what they call a citizens oversight committee over the police and the sheriff. They're not good, generally speaking. Well, first of all, if they have a citizens oversight committee, that means that the sheriff's doing something wrong. You know, so
well, that's what I was thinking. I think they moved it into a jurisdiction underneath them so they can control it instead of letting the people do the job. So that's my thought on the whole process.
Well, I think they get abused. They get there, they get power, they start playing politics. It's not necessary. Listen, if you've got a committee of safety and you know the law and the Constitution, listen, he's either following the law or not. You don't need a citizens oversight committee. That is your committee of safety. And at some point, you can indict him. You know what I mean? If you have to, if it's that bad. You know?
Oh, right. The citizens.
Or recall them or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
We don't want to oversee the people. We want to oversee the government. And they're flipping everything on us. And they have been, well, for 100 and some odd years. But
right, right. But that's just another tactic that they use to make the people feel better. And they'll appoint people that are supposed to take complaints on the police. Like if the police are getting too overbearing and they're violating people's rights, and then you got the Citizens Oversight Committee. And maybe in the beginning it's a good thing, but they get just out of hand, and they usurp the power of the sheriff. If it's that bad, change the sheriff, you know?
Well, I think the National Assembly is good. I think if we could all get on the same page, because they're focusing on like a voting system. No Republican, Democrat. It's just of we the people. And then we're going to need the grand juries. We need the support of a militia. We need to assemble all the people and to educate all the people. And that's the whole problem with all these different groups, because they're all going so many different ways. And some of them are very nefarious, run, I think, by the Vatican or the deep state or whoever, trying to get people to get out of the jurisdiction. Well, they lose their citizenship completely. And then they have no country. If something happens, they get pulled in on a ticket or a misdemeanor or even a felon, they could be deported out of the country because they're signing away their God-given rights. And I just, it's so complicated. And
Mary, you're exactly right. And in those podcasts that I mentioned to you, GR covers this, and he tries to recruit this guy. He's like, look, you'd be great for what we're doing. And you're right, we should work together. But just understand this. It's already in our system. We don't need assemblies. It's already in the system. I promise you it's already there. John covers this in his Committee of Safety Materials, and GR covers it too. It's already all there. It's already baked in. We just need to access it.
Yeah, with the assembly, they're not compatible. They're not compatible with us. Eric, isn't that the group we went to look, and they don't work with other groups, and they're building their experience?
That was Tactical Civics.
That was Tactical Civics, but
okay. And the other one is really fun. Back behind the scenes by, let me think of her name, Anna von Ritz.
No, right, but they'll also tell you that no, we're not associated with her, but it's all kinds of different flavors. Just like Mary was just saying, it's all kinds of different flavors. And by the way, and Gerard knows about this, Mary, the Vatican approached NLA. But anyway, oh, and then Anna von Ritz showed up out of nowhere after that, shortly after. The timing is kind of odd. But anyway, the point is we should work together, but not with the assembly. Those people should come to us and what GR is doing. I'm telling you, all we're doing is what the Founding Fathers did. We're not doing anything different. It's already all baked in there. You don't have to do a new thing. You don't have
I feel like an assembly is in the sense, because the churches have even been taken over, and they're not teaching the they're not teaching the Word of God in the government.
You should come to the Bible study on Wednesday nights. John covers this there. The churches have gone apostate just as it was prophesied. But yeah, you know, you're exactly right. But totally, you should come to the Bible study. It's really good.
And can I get it through this website? The same website?
Same room. Wednesday night at 7:30. This very same room. Show up, we'd love to have you.
7:30. Yeah. Is that Eastern time?
It is Eastern time. Wednesday night.
So that would be a 6:30.
It is also recorded and posted for it. If you'd like to go listen to past studies, if you go under Education Starts Here, come down to Bible Studies. Click on Bible Studies. Got lots of Bible studies here, but the one that's live right now is the Gospel According to Matthew. If you click on that, okay, you'll then see all, it's in video, audio, video, you know, it's in MP4s. So we've posted it. Right now, we're, let's see, six studies into it. So we have it in video and we have it in audio also. So our next study will be part 7 in the Gospel of Matthew.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. I will be there.
And if you're interested in other things, we just finished the Book of Revelation study, also video and audio. Just click on that, and you'll get all of those parts also, video. And then on the bottom, you'll find also the audio, so you can kind of stick them in your MP3 player or your phone or whatever and play the MP3s. But then we have discussions, so some of this goes back a while. We have many discussions. We have an old study in Revelation, which is pretty much the same as the other one, but it adds more stuff and gets a little more involved. I think it gets more involved in Greek and Hebrew to focus in on the understanding and meaning of the words and things. There's a study of Mark down here. There's different, other studies that we've done, I've done over the years anyway. You know, Silence in Heaven, we did two parts on that. The Three Heavens, you know, we did some in-depth studies in the Bible. So for anybody interested, as Eric said, Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, right here in this room.
Okay. When you said that the government was actually, or the assemblies were actually usurping the government, so if you have a de facto government, how can we, the people, be usurping it when they have been usurping us? So I think there's a it's not an oxymoron, but it's kind of a...
the assembly is... Behind the scene is the philosophy and the strategy and the plan of Anna von Ritz. And what they want to do is get rid of the Constitution and rewrite it. That's point one. Okay, that's where they're heading to. Number two, they're creating, they have people who step up and they become judges and this and that. I was contacted years ago by one of the people that was an offshoot from their group, and I think she was a lot stronger back then, but it has broken up and a lot of factions come out of that, but it's the same strategy in many different ways. And I was approached by someone because they knew that we had built the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, which has been seated since 2016, 2017, I think. But its sole purpose is to deal only with enemies, foreign and domestic, within our government. So we're going after judges and mostly...
Well, Anna von Wright is one of those enemies, and she's psyoping people that are coming into her group. But she's not with the National Assembly. It's a different... In fact, our assembly promotes not using her or David Strait or
right, but she structured the process, and they're still all over the place doing a lot of things that she's doing. But the thing is they're creating a grand jury that sits and hears all kinds of things. When I was approached by this one group, okay, they said, look, you got the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury up and running. We'd like to go after some judges. And they wanted to do something in the back room of Denny's. I said, what are you going to do, arrest these people and put them in the basement or something? I mean, they were looking to do crazy things. And, of course, we didn't want any part of them. That was really radical and went far out. But nevertheless, they came out. They came out, they're telling me they're judges and they're this and they're that. They're holding different political positions and because they just go claim the position, okay, in all political levels. And it's a very dangerous thing because that is subversion against the United States of America. Even though the United States of America has already been subverted and we're under an oligarchy right now, but it's about to change over. It's about to flip, okay? So that time is coming very, very, very closely. But the assemblies, again, one of the problem is that they got the sitting grand juries, number one, same foreman. It's a power structure. You know, who's gonna take those seats? But they'll be filled eventually, if not right off the beginning, with psychopaths and sociopaths. They seek out power, and they'll get a power position, and who knows what's going to happen. It's just a wrongdoing. It can't be done. It's not the way. Juries have to be refreshed all the time. A grand jury must be refreshed. You can have a sitting grand jury for a period of time, but it depends on how many cases are heard in that county on a regular basis. And they're not to be seated all the time. For a short period of time, and they're supposed to be wiped out and other people coming in. It's got to constantly turn over.
I don't think that it's so as the system goes now, since we have to deal with the de facto, if you get called up on a grand jury and you happen to be educated on common law, and so if you're lucky enough to get into that situation, then you can go in and you can help with the current de facto grand jury. But I don't believe that they're developing the grand juries as a constant sitting grand jury. I may be wrong. I'm going to have to investigate that a little bit further. But
the regular grand jury, the counties are not doing that. These are societies that do that. As far as the government goes, they do them by case. They get a case, they call a grand jury.
They are indeed creating grand juries, a sitting grand jury, because that's what they're building. I mean, if they're building a grand jury and they say it's going to be refreshed, well, who's going to refresh it? How do you work that process? And who's are people going to give it up once they get it going and they get some power or authority if they can pull it off? Which I don't think it'll be recognized.
Where the safety would come in to make sure that the sitting grand jury. We have to bring back the common law grand jury.
That's why we developed the administrators for the jury, okay? Which is a paid position, okay? You got they call them different things in different counties or in different states. You know, you got commissioners of jurors. I think in New York, that's what they call them, is commissioners of jurors, and that's a bunch of bar attorneys, and they orientate and they pull the juries together and they do the orientation. Well, they got to go. Because they're bar attorneys. The 13th Amendment forbids them from doing that. They're traitors. They're the minions of the New World Order. They bring forward civil law and not natural law. And so they all got to go. Now, the people have to take control of it, and it's got to be separate from the government. These people are not politically connected in any way, shape, or form. They'll receive a budget money, which they'll have to control their own account and give an accounting to the county every quarter or whatever is required. Usually it's a quarter. So they'll give an accounting of their money, how they spent their money. And, of course, the money is spent basically mostly on salaries and some overhead needs. But they're working and operating out of the court, just like the jury, for instance, the process that's set up right now with the lawyers are running. So at that point, the people are meeting the people. There's no political animals there. There's no bar attorneys. No, there's just the people giving them freeing them by teaching them their powers and authorities. And I strongly suggest for people to go and read these handbooks if you haven't read them. Two handbooks particularly, they'll empower you tremendously. One of them is the Grand Jury Handbook. You can download it. It's 30 pages. And the other one is the Petit Jury Handbook. That's 41 pages. You can download it and read them. And it will empower you. And this is how we empower the people who come in to take a seat, whether it be a grand jury or a petit jury.
Do you happen to know if we have any common law courtrooms in this country?
No.
No, they've been abrogated.
Huh?
They've been abrogated. The Rules Enabling Act of 1934 empowered the federal judiciary to write their own rules, and the states followed suit. And Rule 2 of their, in 1938, the Supreme Court came up with the rules. And the rules were actually written, obviously, by the bar itself. And it's a plan that was probably long set aside, ready to go, and finally enacted upon. But the thing is they put these rules. Rule 60 removes all the powers of the people of writs. You know, we have a lot of power in writs. Okay, writ quorwanto is a strong power. Writ mandamus. There's numerous writs. There's about four or five particular writs that are very powerful. Well, Rule 60 abrogated that. No more. They claim, they're coming under civil law, they say, no more writs by the people. You have to ask for permission. Now, why do the people go ask for permission? You see, that's a problem. Rule 2 literally abrogated the common law. It fused together equity and law and called it civil law, and that's what you're under right now. You're in a statutory prison.
Hey, John. John, we've got a real shot at ending at 11. Remember, Jan asked that we try to do that. We got one more in the queue.
Oh, yeah.
Mary, you said you're in Missouri?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Paul Venable, are you familiar with him?
That name sounds familiar to me.
Yeah, Paul. I think he either ran for Attorney General of the state or Secretary of the state, I think, and then he ran for federal level senator. He works with G.R. Mobley, and this thing about general assemblies, he's like, it just keeps rearing its head. It keeps coming up and coming up. You have the right idea. They have a lot of the right ideas, but you're on the wrong track. I promise you it's all baked in to our current, to the de jure government, not the de facto, to the de jure. All the answers are there. But Paul Venable, you should check out the podcast I mentioned to you, and then you should check out G.R. Mobley. And if you'd like, you can get me at Eric at National Liberty Alliance, and I could probably hook you up with Paul Venable. But once you hear those podcasts, it'll straighten things out for you, I hope. But anyway, I thought you should know that, and I yield.
Sir, what was your first name?
Eric. E-R-I-C.
Eric. Okay. And is there a way to contact you? Well, you have
Eric
my number.
Eric at nationallibertyalliance.org.
Oh. Okay. All right. Great. Thank you. I appreciate your time, gentlemen. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mary. Gerard, you here?
Hang on. I just went to refresh my drink. Okay. Tim is next. I just wanted to say one more thing that we didn't touch on that might be important too in the course of the Committee of Safety. The district attorney in a county is the most powerful man. As a matter of fact, we have a fellow over here in the neighboring county that was a district attorney, and then he became a judge. And after he served his term as judge, he gave it up and became a district attorney again. And he said, I can't do anything with the law as a judge. He said, as a district attorney, you know, they're making the plea bargains. They're deciding who to prosecute, who not to prosecute. He has more power than anybody else in the county is the district attorney. So you should keep that in mind. And, you know, they didn't used to have district attorneys. That's a fairly new idea in American history. And I don't think it was till after the 50s or the 60s they put, you correct me if I'm wrong, John, but they operated without district attorneys. You know, it was the sheriff and the coroner and whatever. And, you know,
yeah,
if they,
I don't know how long they've been around, but definitely there was a time when the sheriff and the coroner dealt with the grand juries, at least. I don't know how long they've been around.
Well, the district attorneys were not a fixture until the 50s.
Okay.
So before that, there was no such thing. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that just to kind of put things in perspective, you know.
And pretty much everything they do is unlawful.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, who are they to decide on to work out some kind of a deal with people if they've been indicted, okay? Because that's what they do. They'll come to the person and say, look, you're facing 20 years. It doesn't look good for you. But I'll tell you what, take 3 years and we're all good, okay? Well, look, that's a problem, okay? That is a major problem. No one can really make that kind of a deal but the people themselves. Because this is the law. The lawmakers are the people. We, the people, ordained and established this constitution for them. We're the lawmakers. We're the ones with the power and the authority. They want to get an indictment. They come to us. They ask for it. We either give it or we don't. Okay? And then when they take it to trial, we, the people, make the decision. We decide the law. We decide the facts. And then we make a decision on what the penalty would be with an eye on restitution, particularly on the individual, of course, that there must be an injured party. So we're all about restitution. And it's not always about going to jail, okay? And a grand jury can try to approach the person and say, hey, look, we've got you indicted. You're going to go. But, you know, if you want, maybe you can make work an arrangement out with the person you injured. And if that person agrees, you know, because again, it's all about restitution. Okay, so they can negotiate that and seal that up, and it becomes a valid in law, and that's the decision period of the court. But at the end of the day, the people always make all the decisions, or they're supposed to. But right now, these district attorneys, the county attorneys, I guess it'd be close to the same thing anyway. But the county attorneys, they advise the people in the county. They're the ones that. you know, they're problematic, and they really protect their own at the same time too. So.
Yeah, I believe Gerard's right. They used to, the municipality would hire a working attorney, but then they saw that they could control far more things if they had their own employed. And that's where the district attorney comes from. Of course, they're a bar member. So yeah, you're absolutely right. They should not be. It's a total abomination. And check this out. I heard testimony from a fellow patriot in Georgia here. She said the district attorney was telling them during jury selection, he said, hey, if you all sit on the jury this time, the next time your name comes up, I'll give you a get out of jury free card. You believe that?
What
a get out of jury. He promised them the next time they got into the jury pool, he'd let them go.
Yeah, but that's the law anyway. If you served, you don't have to serve again for like, I don't know, 6-8 years. They can't call you again.
Really?
Well, there's no written rule on that. But the thing is look at
you. That's the normal thing. Is if you once you serve, you're good for. They pull you out of the pool for like 6 years.
Yeah, that makes
wouldn't
sense.
Wouldn't it be based upon population?
Well, I think they always have enough population as per the cases that, you know, they don't run out of people to call because they have the motor vehicle records or whatever else they go off of.
And not only that, you know, less if there's less of the population in the county, then there's less crime too, generally speaking, anyway. You know, that's interesting what you had dug up. What year did they start this, Eric? Did you see anything about it?
I don't know when they started it, but I heard the testimony just last year. In fact, it was in a GR meeting. We were having a Georgia GR meeting sometime last year.
Listen, the judge is supposed to know the law. However, when you get into contract law and stuff like that, sometimes the jury will want to know a legal question, and what they'll do is they'll have an attorney available to answer those questions, because you can't expect the people to actually know, you know, the chapter and verse of certain, especially contract law. So they always hired attorneys when they had legal questions to advise the jury if they wanted it, if they felt they required it. So I don't know how that morphed into something else or whatever. You know what I mean? It could have been that. I have no idea.
Well, it is extremely important that we do have lawyers that understand equity and understand contract law. And there's very, you know, there's all kinds of contract law too. And there's, you know, construction law is quite you know, specific and or sort of on its own. And But we do need people who are knowledgeable of that, but we don't want people who belong to the bar who are knowledgeable of that, and we don't want people that are knowledgeable of that, that don't understand that law is law, and that's called common law, it's natural law, and equity is legislative law, or there's contract law, and there's a difference between all of that. And they need to understand that. Right now, they're totally ignorant to the difference between it, and they look at civil law. But anyway, we better move on because we're running out of time. We've got two other callers.
Yeah. We only got about 5 minutes left here. Let's see who's next. Tim?
Yep, sir.
Go ahead, Tim.
Is there anyone left to the dentist over there?
I'm sorry.
Tim from Connecticut.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, okay. So what I want to ask is, in a transferring a property to one's name in Connecticut, apparently it's through the probate court. So what are you thinking about this? Is there any other way to do this? Do you think there can be some... what would be a good word here? Some hijinks that might go on and going through a probate court, you know, that they do things that are dishonest and so forth. And then again, is there another way to do it that would, take a detour around that so that, go ahead.
Well, probate courts, usually when somebody dies, are you talking about where there was a death and property needs to be transferred? Because normally there's nothing special about transferring property.
Yeah, it's somebody died. somebody died.
Yeah. So now you're in probate, and that's especially true if there was no will.
Yeah, but if there is a spouse, there's nothing else to talk about with or without a will. And if there's children, if they can't work it out, then it would go to probate. Probate has its place, but it's abused, and they seize too much power.
I'll tell you what, if there's a husband, and he doesn't, I guess the wife's name would have to be on the deed. I know of a case where they put the thing in probate, and until the youngest child was 18, the wife couldn't sell the house. They had to get that child to sign off. And I think
there was no will?
Must not have been, I guess.
Now, well, the bottom line is the spouse gets it. There's nothing else to talk about. That's life. And if there is no spouse and there are children, then the children get it.
There was a spouse, but they made her wait till that youngest child was 18. I don't understand it.
That's called evil.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going back when I was a kid. I grew up with these kids.
Evil has been around for a long time.
Yeah, I guess so.
So,
I don't know what else. I don't know how to get you out of probate court. That's like that's as bad as trying to get out of family court.
Are you in probate court, Tim?
Not yet. I wanted to seek your advice. So I'm the child, and there's nobody else. There's no spouse. There's nobody else. Okay. So
maybe we could. Are you going to be at Wednesday's Bible study?
Yeah. Okay. I'll be there.
Yeah. And after the study, maybe once we shut the recording off, I'll talk to you a little bit about it if you want it. Okay?
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right.
So I'll hang up now. I'll hang up now then. Thank you.
All right. Well, don't leave yet. Go ahead,
Josh. Okay, thank you, Tim. We got Andrea is up next. What state are you in, Andrea?
Last caller.
Hang on, I didn't hit the button. There we go. Andrea. You are.
Hi. My name is Andrea, and I'm from Texas. And, you know, just listening to everybody talk about all of the corruption in the system, all of the convictions and the judges and the attorneys and everything, you know, it just brought a question to my mind, you know, with us educating and bringing, you know, the movement of common law forward and educating everybody. I'm just curious if we're going to have a movement where everybody, you know, then realizes that people that have been convicted illegally, and if that's going to create a movement of then wanting a movement for turning over those convictions.
90% of everybody that's in there would have to be let go. We already know that, and they know that.
So what do you...
If they restore us back to the Constitution, they know they're going to have to release most of the prisoners in prison.
Every unlawful case, which is just about all of them, have to be reviewed and or just let them go.
Interesting.
People who lost their homes. Okay, look at people. We're all of us are casualties of war. The older you are, the more damage they've done to you, because we've been all of our lives under this system, and we've been damaged along our lives all the way. If you've lost your home, if they've seized and put you in jail because of the IRS, for instance, claiming you owe money and they put you in jail, that's debtor's prison to begin with. All of that requires compensation. So the question is, how does that compensation come? Where does that compensation come from?
Come from, right.
The New World Order, okay, they control probably, I'll take a guess, 90% of the economy. Control 90% of the, you know, they got the liquidity, they got the gold, they got the silver, they got properties, they got the big corporations, the major corporations, pharmaceutical companies, I mean, all of this stuff, okay, it's all going to be taken away because, as Trump said, you know, when you rob the diamond store and you get caught, you got to give the diamonds back. So everything we own is going to be seized and auctioned off back to the people. And the benefit of that, whatever, all that equity, all that money that comes from that, okay, is going to be going to the people. And it's not just the people of the United States, because we're not the only one injured.
Right, worldwide.
Right. And there's 23 nations working on this with Trump. And they're going to be moving together collectively across the world to take these people out when the time comes. The plan has been set. It's just a matter of time. There's going to be something that's going to trigger it off, or it's just to the point where they're going to become president. But something will trigger it off, and that's when it's going to happen. The militaries of the world are going to start moving against them, and they'll bring peace and safety back into the world for the first time.
Okay, very interesting. Okay, all right, that was my question.
Okay, well, that's it for the night. Thanks, you have okay. Yeah.
Okay, good night, everybody. Thanks for coming.
Good night. Thank
you. See you next Monday.
All right, thank you, guys.
Yep.